Blog Talk Radio.
I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? You and your f***ing invited. So gone and get to clapping. Go pop a phone.
Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast. And today is February the 13th, 2024. And you're tuned into the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. Wow, there's been a lot of things that has just been happening recently. And it's crazy. First of all, I want to say this, that I'm sitting outside because I've just been enjoying the weather, and I've kind of like lost track of time because it's really been a beautiful day here in the ATL. I will take the studio indoors momentarily so I don't break my own rules about having noise in the background during the show. But it is a beautiful day here. I saw something pop up recently on my news feed about the war in Israel, or the war that is about to start, where Iran has attacked Israel. So that's the topic that we were going to get into, the threat of it. But now it's become a reality that it is happening. There's been numerous drones sent from Iran, according to the news feed I'm getting. This is just a constant, unstable situation happening in that part of the world. And what kind of effect will it have for us here in the United States in the long run. So I'm looking to see if any of my co-hosts are going to be chiming in. I don't see them on the board yet, but I'll see if they chime in and see if we can talk about that. Also, we're going to talk about O.J. Simpson, the death of O.J. Simpson, and wow, the responses that's been coming out on social media have been really interesting to me, because I'm seeing where people are like, hey, you know, many of them are saying, you know, God bless OJ and this, that, and that. Because we have to remember, court of law, he was found not guilty, but what he did after that shit, okay, he was found guilty. All right, we have to talk about that. But, you know, the whole trial, the whole drama of that, from the chase scene to everything involved, that's been over 30 years ago. 30 years from that. And all condolences to, you know, the Goldman family and to Nicole's family. But, you know, if it was a miscarriage of justice, then we have to look at all the times there has been a miscarriage of justice. If you feel that OJ got off of committing murder, okay, that's the way you feel. But it went through a court of law. It's just like the murderers of Emmett Till. It went through a court of law, and they got off. But they turned around, and they did an interview with Life magazine and said, yeah, we did it. And this is how we did it. Think about that, too. Think about that, too. You know, but it's been 30 years, and that's just amazing, you know. And now, like I said, the responses from people who, you know, in fact, who was it? I don't like to call him Bruce Jenner or Caitlyn Jenner. I just say Caitlyn Bruce. Because Caitlyn Bruce was a close friend of OJ. But you see how tables turn? See how things turn? You know, it's interesting how he posted on social media, good riddance. But let's remember, Caitlyn, you were in a car accident that took the life of a person. You shouldn't even be saying a damn thing at this point in time. You really shouldn't. It's too soon for you to speak up. Too soon. And you couldn't wait. I got a hand wave here, and I know I believe who it is. I'm pretty sure I know who it is because I know the number. And it is Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw is in the house. Happy Saturday, my brother. How you doing today?
I'm good, Mike. How are you today?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm outside, but I'm probably going to take the studio indoors. So I don't know if you can hear any background noises, but I'm trying to make sure I don't get much. It's normally quiet in my neighborhood, so but I'm just enjoying the weather. But what's your take on this whole thing with the, you know, the responses or based on what I just said?
Well, it's like you said, you know, he was found innocent in a court of law. You can have your personal feelings, you know, and that should be just that, your personal feelings, your opinion on what happened. My thing is, he wasn't only known for that. Yeah, that's what pushed him in everybody's eyes, you know, but he was a great football player. I think they should be giving him, if they're going to announce his death, you know, to the world, then they should announce everything about him to the world. You know, his year that playing football at USC, you know, playing with the Buffalo Bills, you know, and then go with all of that other stuff.
Well, they did.
They all started out with the OJ trials, and then they started backpedaling and trying to show certain things. nobody wants to leave this earth known for the negative things that people have assumed they did or the negative things that they did. You know, we all want to leave this earth with a positive imagery on our legacy. You know, I don't want people when I go to say, oh, well, Crenshaw, he killed about five people, you know. I want them to say the positive things about me. And you are going home to your creator, to the Father. You know, so I just think the world is so negative right now, you know. And the Goldman family and all of them, you know, they can have their opinion pertaining to everything. But if the shoe was on the other foot, if it was a white man married to a black woman and that happened, what all would they be saying right now? Nothing. For one, the world's trying to get rid of damn women and take them back to the 1800s.
Now, I found that interesting that you said the shoe was on the other foot. Well, you know what, my brother? The shoe has been on the other foot, but the outcomes have been of guilt. If you remember the Sullivan case here, and I know you know about that, an elite family where it was a white man married to a black woman, a florist shows up and murders her on the front door.
Right.
Yeah, he was
city
married
to this
woman. I'm sorry?
She was a city council member.
Okay, right. And it's like, but see that, I mean, that was a big case, true enough. But at that time, I don't think we had social media the way we have it now, and you really didn't get the responses of folks and this, that, and the other as we do now. And even with the OJ trial, true, we didn't have social of media, and I have another hand up. I'm going to bring another co-host in, the lady of the house. But, you know, that's interesting because, again, after 30 years, I really have to look at it where, you know, God bless OJ, because if he went up against a court, a jury of his peers, and they found him not guilty, so be it. Hell, there's other individuals who go up against a court of their or a jury of their peers and found not guilty. And again, going back to what you're saying, an opinion. Some people say, oh, well, the jury got it wrong. But, damn, you can't do double jeopardy. And as I just said, the murder of Emmett Till, what I'm looking at is that at that time, and we have to remember that was, you know, many, many, many years ago, where these two grown-ass men murdered a boy.
Right.
And the jury was all white. And, of course, you knew back then during Jim Crow that they were not going to be found guilty. But then they have the balls to go ahead and do an interview with Life magazine and tell you, yes, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
And how they did.
Yeah.
See, to me, that's where folks, you got to understand that where if you think the verdict for, you know, for O.J. Simpson was wrong and a miscarriage of justice, it ain't the first time then. Because these two white men told you, yes, we did it. Let me go ahead and open up the mic for the lady of the house here, because I want to talk about the O.J. situation. We're going to go ahead and make sure that we do everything within time frame. And then we're going to look at Monday, April 15th, trial number one, case number one, for former President Donald Trump. I hate when they keep saying President Trump. You know, over the years, it's always been former, but now they're still saying President Donald Trump. We'll have to deal with his first of four cases. On Monday, which, by the way, is April the 15th, tax day.
Yep.
Y'all get what I'm saying? It's tax day. It's the deadline. So the deadline for Donald Trump has come to appear in court for the first time. So without further ado, let me go ahead and open the microphone to Miss Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis.
Happy Saturday for you and Crenshaw. Glad that you're here. You know,
yes.
I miss hearing your voice.
Oh, see, you done started something now. You done started
yeah.
it now. You miss me. Uh huh. Okay.
I miss you.
I'll take you.
Talking to you, baby. I miss you. Oh, that's a song, by the way, from Aaron Hall. But I'm sorry, it just hit my mind. But go ahead. I'm going to put myself on mute.
No, you good. I'm just,
yeah.
I'm over here. I'm blushing still.
Yeah. Well, you know, you bring a lot of good points to whatever
points.
We are talking about, you know. So, you know, we like hearing your opinion, you know. So that's why I said I miss you.
Say points again. I like that.
Points. Oh, Lord. Anyway, you guys were talking about O.J. Simpson, and I got in on the tail end of it. You know, so when I looked at what was in Wikipedia, I think it was called, they didn't start out talking about him, you know, and the trial, but that was something that really impacted the whole nation, and it made us, almost for the first time, really being divided. The only other time that I could think of is with, like Mike said, President Trump, and it's supposed to be former president.
Right.
You know, that's the only other time that we've been divided, you know, but Trump made it his business to say red states versus blue states and tried to divide us. You know, we haven't seen anything yet. Mm-hmm. This is just the beginning. And you're right. Come up with something that was made in 76, you know,
right.
And I didn't even know they were doing abortion laws back then. That was a shocker.
Yeah. Well,
women
you got to remember back. And you got to remember what they were doing back then for an abortion, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they were looking at the women not being able to have babies. Period, you know, because you've had incest, you know, for centuries, and women have been killing themselves based on that because they were forced to raise a child, you know, their baby daddy was their father, you know, their uncle.
That's right. I came up in an era where a lot of men preyed on young girls. I know I felt like I had a sign on my back most of the times, like pick me. I don't know if it's because I had a big behind, but they used to always single me out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard, you know.
But I don't,
you know,
it happens. I'm not that type. I don't see that. I'd rather have an older woman than a younger woman, because I'm tired of teaching. I want somebody who can teach me. But I don't want to be in control. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Most of my life, I was in control of every situation I was in. Well, hell, I want to relax now. Let somebody else be in control.
There's nothing wrong with that.
And it's what you just said is still going on. They're preying on the younger because of the innocence.
I made sure I taught my children what to do if somebody tried to approach them, even my boys, you know, because my mother didn't tell me anything. And I wanted to make sure my children knew and didn't get it from somebody outside. They got it from me.
Well, you know, the FBI training down at Conoco where they teach you for interrogation, you know, I actually taught my daughter a little bit of how to read people as far as when they first approach you, what's their thoughts, what's on their mind.
That's right.
You know, so you can tell if they're lying or not to you. So I taught her a little bit of that. But I also put her in martial arts because you have a very lot of aggressive men, too. They won't take no for an answer.
But you know what's interesting that you guys are
on the phone? That where can we look at what we were teaching young girls, though, now of how to look adultish? Is that a word? I'll make it up.
Adulting?
To look like an adult. Why are we allowing young girls to have big eyelashes, makeup, stuff like that? You know, you guys know the whole thing with the what was the young lady's name who passed away, or they never really found out who killed her. It's on the tip of my tongue, but you know what I'm talking about, right? But
well,
I'm sorry. Again, I'm outside, so you know you're gonna hear some background noise for a moment. My neighbors are heading out. But JonBenet Ramsey. Okay, she was one of those girls who did those little, you know, teen models. But you dress them up like adults, right? But you dress them up like adults, and you know you have a bunch of perverts out there. So at what point should you allow your child to look like an adult? And I'm trying to understand why even have these type of pageants to make kids look like adults, dress and attire like an adult. I don't get
that's
it.
That's been going on for a long time. I mean, you remember Endless Love with Brooke Shields and how old she really was in that movie?
Yeah.
You know, so dressing them up like that, and a lot of it has to do with morals and values, too. So some of the parents do it for investment purposes to make money, and basically they're selling their child through promotion. You know, the women today that are allowing their children to dress like that, you know, not just the makeup and everything, but the clothes. It's just that fad thing that every generation goes through. As long as you instill in your child the morals and values that they need to survive. If you talk to them and don't worry about how fat your wallet's going to get for who sees them and is going to promote them up.
I look at blue eyes.
That I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to understand. It's a competition, right, among young girls.
Yeah.
I don't see this among young boys. It's a competition among impressionable young girls. Keeping that word in mind, impressionable young girls. You're throwing them into a thing, and Officer Crenshaw, you're definitely right. It's been going on for decades. But to me, it's a perverted thing because there's no young boys there judging who he thinks is the prettiest girl. It's adults who are judging. It's adults who are behind this. It's grown people. I don't get it. It's the entertainment for adults.
Now,
I'm going to put myself on mute and see if you all can, you know, explain to me, why does it even exist? Why does this competition exist if it's not for the benefit for adults? Because to me, it's using your child. It's using your child for your benefit. Go ahead.
I look at, like, Beyonce. Her daughter, Blue Ivy, they have her looking like she's 21. you know, and I it's mind-boggling to see that, you know, because you are drawing attention to your child by you dressing her, like you said, with the false eyelashes and makeup and, you know, heels and provocative clothes. It's making her, people draw attention to her, and I don't think that's right. You know, maybe it is because they're in the, her parents are in the entertainment industry, you know, but
it's
I think it's bad.
It's okay, but well, the thing is, and you're on point, but the whole thing I'm saying, which I'm sure you understand this, the whole thing to me is that where, you know, I'm not trying to change gears, but look at Michael Jackson, okay? He grew up faster. He never really had a childhood. That's been documented. That's a fact. Michael Jackson never really had a childhood. He worked all his life. All his life, he worked in the entertainment industry ever since he was 5 years old. He was used by adults. Think about this. He was used by adults. They saw gold mine. And finally, he said, you know what? When he became an adult, I'm going to run my own shit. But it brought him to the point of where, well, but I have to change my appearance, right? Which he did. Y'all know that. I know that. Changed his appearance. But he was still a product of the entertainment industry. All of a sudden, he winds up dead. Okay. When you look No, go ahead. I'm going to let you chime in.
Well, I just want to say, I think a lot of it was before he was 5 years old because they were amateurs before they became professionals. You know, the parent, the father was making them practice for, you know, all the time, you know, and that's how he used to get a lot of business because he got tired of it, you know.
True what you're saying. But the thing is that let's keep in mind is that where, first of all, Joe did not want them to do that. It was an accident, in a sense, and I'm going to use the word accident, because, you know, the other family members, Tito or Jermaine, because Joe played a guitar. He wasn't very good at it, but then come to find out his son could play it. And then later on down the road, he realized, wait a minute, Michael can sing. Tito can play guitar. All right. I'm going to go ahead and put this all together. That's how it started. And they put them on the road, right? They rehearsed. Going back to what you're saying. Yeah, initially, it should not have happened. It really wasn't going to happen until Joe realized, well, wait a minute, I got five boys here. You know, they do have some talent. Let's put it all together and see what we can do. Correct me if I'm wrong. Because he was wrong in the beginning. But then once they came to him and said, hey, look, this is what we love to do and everything, and he's like, okay. And so he took the chance on his son. And look what happened. They became the most popular R&B, be honest, one of the most popular R&B groups of all time, if not the most popular. And Michael Jackson became the king of pop, and he left the family. When I say the family, I mean as a band or as a group. And we see that happen a lot of times. You look at the Gap Band. Charlie Wilson left. Okay? Went solo. Look at him now. Unfortunately, Michael's dead. Another example. You look at who's another group? Oh, the Commodores. Right? Lionel Richie left and went solo. And became very popular. You know? So back on point is that where when you look at those type of situations, it's like where folks are trying to grow.
you kind of wonder what happened to the fact that there wasn't a growth altogether. But we're getting off point on that. We got to get back on the other point, you know, that we're on. We were talking about OJ. OJ, as Officer Crenshaw said, was an amazing athlete. USC Trojan, Heisman Trophy winner, an amazing player in the NFL, and then winds up going or dealing with this whole murder trial and everything. And then we all know the infamous chase. But we do know of where the prosecution screwed up and brought some of the worst individuals to testify. You've got an Officer Furman who has used the word nigger so many damn times. It's off the chart. And they shared that in court, right? So that brought doubt to the jury as far as his testimony. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was really the turning point of this whole case, of where you're going to bring in a police officer, a detective, whatever you want to call him. And they have documentation. They have audio of him calling black people, which O.J. was black, niggers, 41 times. 41 times he said that. How can you take that testimony? How can the jury take that testimony and you know, look at his credibility is good, and he's the one who's actually investigating this murder, this whole thing? Come on now. But people are mad.
The prosecution didn't do their job, due diligence, when it came to really checking out the police officer. You know, they probably figured he was legit because he was a police officer. So that was their
fault. That was their assumption. Right. That was their assumption. Right. But the defense. But okay. So let me back up. You're right, Janet. The prosecution didn't do their job. The defense did, though, because they had audio, and also documentation of his racist comments towards black people. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're right.
That was the turning point. That was when the jury was like, whoa, wait a minute. And granted, true enough, the majority of the jurors were black, and people were upset. Well, the majority of the jurors for the case for Rodney King were white in Simi Valley. That's how come you had that riot going on. Here's the difference. We saw the video of Rodney King being beat. We saw that. Thanks to Mr. Holliday. Follow me on this, y'all. But with OJ, it was like, you know, well, he did it. There's no video of that. Nothing, and your prosecution really did a horrible job. The white lady, the black guy, did a horrible job. As you just said, they did not at all vet him enough to understand that he's got a background. He's known to have a racial opinion about black people. They didn't look into that. And that's how the whole case came down to where, you know, a lawyer like, you know, a lawyer that can, you know, reach in and find out, look, you guys are missing the point here. And put a person on the witness stand that is basically racist. That was a big mistake for the prosecution. What do you guys think about?
Not just that, Michael, but I want to add the glove, you know, where they was thinking that they found OJ's glove as evidence, but a lot of that stuff they claimed was being planted on him, like going to his house and everything, you know. So I think it was I thought it was weird that they put a black man as part of the prosecution, but that was done on purpose because they didn't want to show that it was they were being prejudiced, you know. So they were trying to show that it were equal, but it wasn't. The nation was already divided on that trial. People were ready to fight about OJ, you know. At jobs, everywhere, restaurants. It was unreal, you know. But only God knows what OJ did. If he did it, that was, you know, only God knows. That's all I can say. He's gone now. Yeah.
Chris, are you have a response to that?
Yeah.
I'm asking Crenshaw if he has a response.
No, I just think, you know, like Janet said, we're completely divided. We have been divided for a long time, and they're trying to divide us now even more. You know, what they people need to remember is, you know, they need to remember forgiveness. And it's not so much you forgiving the person, but forgiving yourself for the things that you could have done to make the outcome be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they knew he was violent to her when they were married, that he was stalking her when they got divorced, you know, those people who knew all of that could have did things differently than what they did. They could have did more than what they did prior to it getting to the point to where he was even accused of murder. If he did it, like Janet said, only God knows. He's got to answer to God come judgment day, and his judgment day has already come. You know,
Correct. But
forgiveness, you know, all those people with those comments of hatred and everything, you know, stop blaming yourself and forgive yourself.
That's right.
Because there's something else you could have done, somebody else you could have talked to, you know, that could have change the outcome of that whole situation if you had have acted. The slogan now is see something, say something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people still don't want to say anything. Until it's too late.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I had to put myself on mute because my neighbor is now blowing his yard, but he don't have much of a yard, but hopefully you guys can hear me. Again, I'm outside. I am broadcasting outside because it's such a beautiful day, and this is my day off. And my job asked me, can you go ahead and work and just take one day off and work 6 days straight? We'll pay you. I'm like, well, you're going to have to pay me if I work 6 days straight. You know, so they're offering overtime. I'm like, okay, I'll go ahead and do it. So anyway, long story short, I'm just trying to enjoy this one Saturday off before I have to wait until next Saturday to have another day off. But what I find interesting is what you guys are just saying. And we're going to change topics in a moment. But and then hopefully they'll be done blowing their yard, and you guys can hear me a little clearer. Can you hear me, though?
Yes. We hear you.
Okay, good. Okay, great. Fantastic. I got my mouth almost all the way to the doggone mic. So, but with that being said, what I find interesting is and Dan, I think you missed it. I was looking at the response that Caitlin Bruce, I call him Caitlin Bruce, he's still a man, you know, because he was born a man, said good riddance. Have you seen that? And what's your response to that? Seeing that they were such close friends, you know, and then he was in a, Caitlin Bruce was in a car accident that did take a life also.
But it
you talking
really,
about Bruce Jenner?
Yeah, but it was really the wife who was close friends with Nicole, you know, so that's why he was able to get to know her. It was his wife who was really close with her. Yeah. So,
but,
and that's
wait
probably,
a minute.
That's
I was
probably
saying,
why
I was saying,
he said
Janet, what I was saying, but what I was saying, Janet, what I was saying is that where Caitlyn Jenner, okay, who changed, you know, his sexual, you know his look, posted on social media,
good riddance.
Based on culture, okay? So, and you know what that means. And so the things that were, social media really slammed him on that because for the fact that they were friends prior to the murders, and also Caitlin, Bruce, that's what I say, I'm not going to give him the respect and call him Jenner. I'm going to say Caitlin Bruce. He still was born a man, in my opinion. I don't give a shit what everybody else thinks. Before you come on social media and make that comment, you killed somebody. You killed somebody else, too, in a car accident. You shouldn't even have even said a word. You shouldn't have even said a word.
Because I think it's, like you said, though, it was because of his wife, Chris. She was real close. They were like besties, her and Nicole. That's
y'all
why.
Talking about the Kardashians.
I understand. I'm trying to stay on point. The only thing I'm saying is that where should Caitlin Bruce, which I mean Caitlin Jenner, formerly Bruce Jenner, should he, she, or she, I'll give him that respect or her that respect. Even commented at all, because when you were a man, you loved OJ. You guys were friends, but then when you changed over, you turn around and you make this comment on social of media. I think that was wrong. I really do.
Well, it's wrong just based on the fact of the hatred, because right now, the world, I don't know how you would classify somebody who has a sex change, LGBTQ or what, you know, I don't know.
Transgender.
You know,
transgender.
Okay. With all of that that he's gone through and what they're going through now, how do you have the hatred in you to post something like that? Now, if y'all are talking about the Kardashians, even though Bruce, Caitlin, you know, I don't know because I don't follow him since he's not doing the cereal boxes anymore. You were friends with OJ, and the man that you replaced in that family sat on OJ's defense. One of his defense attorneys.
Yes, he was.
The father,
Chris
the
husband.
Yeah, Mr. sat on OJ's defense board. And you're going to say that based on what? You know, he killed somebody, so good riddance. Well, what happens if somebody says that to you because you changed sexes after you die? That's not a, that's too much hatred. For unknown reasons, you know, for no reason even necessary, that's just too much hatred.
Yes, it is.
You see, even though OJ is gone, he's still here, and OJ's kids are still here. Those kids don't deserve all those comments. Yeah, the kids don't deserve all those comments. They don't need to hear them or read about them.
I actually think if he hadn't done that robbery of getting his items back when the guys robbed him and he had to go to jail, he wouldn't have, I think, you know, because for a while he wasn't even, nobody was talking about him. It resurfaced when he, at gunpoint, went to the casino and got the hotel part to, and robbed these guys to get their, his stuff back. His trophies and everything. You know?
Yeah.
So they said they made an example out of him by giving him the time that they gave him. Because I said, if it was anybody else, they wouldn't have given him 30-something years, done 30-something years for just a regular robbery. You know?
Well, that all depends on the state. Each state jurisdiction is different. And like you said, based on his publicity from the murders in L.A., you know, they were making an example of him. Because if that was me or you, that had never been heard of before, you know, we probably wouldn't have got that sentence. But
that's right.
OJ did, he did what pretty much any man would do.
I want to share something real quick. We have to remember something of the whole thing is that where he did write a book, and I think it was titled If I Did It, you know, and everything. You know, that was kind of, OJ should have never done that, in my opinion. He should have just walked away, never made a response. I mean, you were found not guilty. Leave it alone. But then he wrote a book, right? Then
why did he write the book?
And then he turned around and did the which became a crime because he was found guilty. See, for me, if you're found guilty, then according to the law, you committed a crime. And so, you know, when he did the thing in Vegas, you know, with the guys, he claims that he didn't know that they had guns. I don't know how true that is. You're going into a hotel room to retrieve your memorabilia. You know, you should be able to talk to your people that you're going into the hotel room with and be like, hey, I don't want no violence, this, that, and the other, okay? I don't want no guns.
Yeah. He knew they had guns.
Okay, that's where that's where the questionable thing comes into it, in my opinion, and that's how he got arrested, because for the fact that he did not get arrested for the alleged murders that he committed. Yes, go back to what you all just said. Make an example. Take advantage of the situation. Oh, yeah, we're going to, you know, put him in jail. But fortunately for OJ, he was released from jail. He never was able to come back to the status that he was. Let's look at one thing that was already mentioned in the conversation. He was an amazing college football player, Heisman Trophy winner, played in the NFL for the Bills, and then after that, he was a pitch man for Hertz Rent-A-Car. Got into acting.
You saw him in television shows, movies. I mean, the guy was doing good. Correct me if I'm wrong.
And that's the reason why he wrote the book.
Mm-hmm.
He exhausted all monies after that trial because of the civil suit.
Mm-hmm.
So he had no money. He had to write the book. Now, you got to remember the era that he came up in as a black football player, okay? He wasn't the smartest donut in the box, if you get what I'm saying.
I like that.
So he was easily manipulated. They convinced him to do that book so that he could generate some money to pay for the civil lawsuits that was going on.
Right.
And if you think I'm lying about the era and the donut in the box, look at Herschel Walker.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that we're one thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just saying that we're, from my understanding, that they could not touch his pension from football. They could not touch that money. So, and I think I saw an article about where, you know, what his actual value was, or his net worth was after his death. Was like around 4 or 5 million. Still had, I mean, that's a decent amount, you know. I don't know what the total outcome will be, but they couldn't touch his pension from football. What's your thoughts on that?
And that wasn't that much. That wasn't that much back then. Not like what they're getting paid now. You know,
right.
It wasn't that much.
True enough, but in that time, right, and of course, yeah, it's probably a whole lot less for when he retired compared
right, so
to what's happening.
You're being sued for everything that you've got just about other than your pension, and you still got to maintain your livelihood and raise your kids and put them through college. So there's his money. Okay, you think OJ was going to go move down to Atlanta and live on McDaniel Street?
Hell no.
No. No.
And I don't
know. No. Right.
So I agree with you. He shouldn't have never did it, but he was easily manipulated into doing it. They were still, even after it was over, they were still trying to boast him up as if he was somebody special, you know, and then he writes this book and they give it the title, If I Did It, you know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of athletes, musicians from back in that era got taken advantage of. They got used. Mike, you said it earlier. You know,
mm-hmm.
People were using them to build their pocketbook, their purse. And didn't give a damn about them as long as they got their money on the front end of everything.
In the 90s, I know of a guy, his Brett Farwood or something, he played for Miami. He was living high off the hog, and the person that he put in charge of his finances took him to the cleaners. Next thing he knew, they were being foreclosed on. He had no money in the bank. He had to start all over again because he got hurt, so he couldn't play ball anymore. And, you know, it was hard for him to be, and he ended up relocating here to Atlanta. And it was hard for him to be able to get a decent job because, like you said, a lot of times they build them up, but education-wise, you just want them to play ball. So you fake the funk to make it look like they were doing well when they really weren't.
Right. Exactly. And sad to say, which my wife is teaching my kids the value of money now, but nobody taught us that.
Mm-hmm.
How to invest, how to save, Nobody taught us that, you know. So we didn't do it. When I was working the street, it was a professional basketball player that played for the Hawks who's homeless of his choosing. He got on drugs. He embarrassed his family, so he lives out on the street. His daughter, big, pretty house, she come and pick him up on Thanksgiving, take him home, clean him up, feed him. Right after Thanksgiving, he's back out on the street living up under the bridges because that's where he's comfortable. He wasn't – that's what he's used to. You know,
a
he could be somewhere coaching.
Yeah,
he could be somewhere coaching and making money now that we've advanced in today's world to where we know about investing, you know. But back then, that era back then, as long as they had it in their hands and they could spend it, that's all that mattered. They didn't think about how they was going to get more, just what they had. And if they continued to play ball, they continue to get money. They stop playing ball, they're FUBAR.
That's right. Yeah, I have a close friend. Her husband worked at IBM. He's not doing well, but he made sure when he worked at IBM, he was in the IT area where they went around and troubleshoot the computers and machines and, you know, copy machines and things like that. Well, he saved his money. He invested. They have nothing to worry about. And a lot of his coworkers used to laugh at him because he was still walking around wearing leisure suits. But that's what he liked, you know? So they, you know, but then when it came time for the company to say they were downsizing and was asking for a voluntary layoff, his coworkers were shivering in their boots because they were so afraid they were going to get laid off because they had bought these fine, fancy cars and was still, you know, kind of struggle with a mortgage. Well, he paid cash for his house. He paid cash for his cars. But he was able to do that because he saved, you know. And they were shocked when he said, "What kind of package you have for me?" You know, and I just laugh when I hear that story that some of his friends tell because they were acting like he didn't have it like that, but he was well off, way better than me, you know.
Yeah.
And coming up, a lot of the actors and stars and singers and things, like you said earlier, they did not. They relied on somebody to manage for them, and they took them to the cleaner. You know, we know a lot of the guys that had to go overseas to because they couldn't make it over here in the States. But they did well overseas. They really appreciated them over there. But over here, no. You know, that's bad. Even Michael Jackson, I see a lot of his concerts when he was all overseas in different areas, you know, Hungary and just, I don't know, just all, I mean.
Japan, Australia, Hong Kong.
Yeah, you couldn't even see, it was a sea of people. You couldn't even see where they ended. It was that many people there to see him. And Michael knew how to invest, and he did well.
Yep. And that's the problem. You know, through generations, we didn't learn. Like, I'm like you. My mom didn't tell me a whole lot. She told me while I was living up under her roof. But when I graduated, I had to fend for myself. You know, she didn't tell me anything. I had to fend for myself. I had to learn things out on my own. You know, I had a few people whispering in my ears, you know, about investment in insurance and different things of that nature.
You know, I was in school, Crenshaw. I had a real high IQ, and I could have been able to get a scholarship for college. But they weren't thinking about a lot of the black children going to college. They just wanted you to have a trade. You know, they were gearing more of the white kids towards getting a college education. But when they were talking about, I thought it was something to be a secretary.
Well,
I found out it wasn't. But, you know, that's what they were gearing me towards.
And they got rid of all of that. You don't have automotive shop. You don't have wood shop. You don't have typing in class anymore. You know, that was gearing us up for trades.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. But,
they're trying to go back to it. Because some of those jobs do pay well. I did well working in electronics. I had only a high school education, but I was able to become a senior planner 3, where you normally have to have a master's degree for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I worked my tail off to get that.
You know what? I love the conversation that we just had here. And I'm sorry I have to intervene. Because I'm looking at the clock. We're at the 7 o'clock hour. We have other topics we definitely want to get into and talk about. See what your thoughts about, you know, what's happening. I think you guys already know. I looked at
Can
where,
I say one
you know,
thing before you go forward, though, Mike?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
We're just going to take a music break and come right back. But go ahead.
Okay, real quick before that, Janet said she had a 3-digit IQ. I just want to ask her, are you a serial killer?
No. But I was 151, I think, was my IQ. I wasn't a serial killer, but I was a straight-A student.
Okay.
Officer Crenshaw, if she was a serial killer, she would not be here on this show. At least if I would have known that, I'd be like, hell, she might want to kill me, you know, be like, well, damn it, Michael, I want to do this topic. I'd be like, no, Janet. Well, damn it, okay, I'll see you in the morning. But anyway, no, she's not a serial killer. Hey, look, you guys, you're listening to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL in Atlanta, Georgia, with my co-host, Janet Pollock Hawkins Davis, Officer Jeffrey Crenshaw, and you know, we have a lot of different people who chime in from time to time, co-host, and right now, unfortunately, some of them are not available, but you know, I support what they do, because you know what, they work too, you know, even on Saturday. So we're going to take a quick music break. We're going to move on to our next topic, see if you are interested in it. You know what, this week was the birthday of a music icon, the one and only Babyface. You know, you guys, he's getting older. I don't know how long, you know, I think it should just be Face, but he's getting older. You know, God bless him. He's an amazing, you know, music producer, songwriter, and everything. But this week is his birthday. So giving much love and respect to Babyface, who has done so much work with so many artists, you know, over the years, and legendary songs that we're going to always love and respect. I think, in all honesty, in his era, he has really put down some tracks that will forever be. But, you know, let me stop talking. And go ahead and play this track here, one of his singles of him, okay? You know, he started off with the group The Deal, was with Solar Records. Dick Griffey didn't know that the stuff that he was being sent as far as the songs that they wanted to put out there on the label was Face singing it. That's a different story, but it's so funny, you know, because I've talked about it. But anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back here on the show.
TNGS is the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And yes, I'm sitting outdoors, and because it's such a beautiful day here, and I just could not be indoors, right? That was Babyface. Happy birthday to Face. What is he now? 50? I know he's like, I think he's 2 years older than me. I think he's 56, so happy birthday, Babyface. You're 56 years old. He has brought some great music to us over the years, and you guys think about it. I mean, you were talking about, you know, Whitney Houston. I can't even name all of them. so much that he's in. All right, so let's change topics. Let's move forward. Happy birthday, babe. We got to go into Monday, April the 15th is always tax day. Yes, it
nope.
is.
Nope.
Well, unless you extend it.
But no, April 15th is always tax day. But you said no.
Nope.
I'm going to let you go ahead and talk on that. It's not? Okay, go ahead and tell me why it's not.
They extended it during COVID.
During COVID. But what about now?
Okay, you're right.
Thank you. I understand what you mean by during a you know, because a, you know, a pandemic, that's a different thing. And by the way, there's a difference between epidemic and a pandemic. What amazes me is that where, you know, when you look at where folks say that, well, it's just, you know, at this, you know, location, everything. A pandemic is worldwide. Epidemic is something that is in a smaller location. Keep that in mind, folks. Understand the meaning of the words. Epidemic, pandemic. Okay? So, I find it interesting is that where the first case dealing with former President Donald Trump is going to happen in 2 days. I'm like, wow, this is going to be interesting. And it's on tax day. That's what I said, Officer Crenshaw. Tax day.
Yeah.
The deadline for U.S. citizens to file your taxes, whether you owe the government or if the government owes you, the deadline is April the 15th, this Monday, unless you got an extension. But I think this judge has a sense of humor because he set that date for tax days. To me, that's funny. You know, to set the trial to start, at least to start looking at the jury. What's you guys' thoughts? Because his attorneys have been trying to dismiss these proceedings for months now. Y'all know it, for months. And they've been turned down. And within 2 days, the proceedings are going to start. What's your thoughts about it?
It's about time. It should have happened years ago, but he refused to give up his tax returns. And even when they subpoenaed his tax returns, it took almost 7 years to get them.
That's right.
So he should go on trial on tax day. And I hope I hope the IRS is listening and go get him, because he want to stand up and say he'll let Russia do whatever in the hell they want if you don't pay your bills. He don't pay his.
It's ironic.
Yeah. It is ironic. Janet, you know, and for y'all that's listening, Janet does a lot of research for our show. I don't say my show. I say our show, because you guys are very much important to what we talk about here. And every Saturday, I'm just thankful and blessed that you guys tune in when possible. But, Janet, you know, with that being said, it's tax day. Do you think the judge was being comical on it, or, you know, for him to pick that date and everything? And does that really mean something? Do you really think that should really mean something to people? Because I'm pretty sure it's just where they're going to start picking a jury first and foremost, right? I mean, it's not like,
yeah,
you know, it's going to be a process first, you know, and I'm sure that individuals are going to, you know, turn around and be like, this shouldn't be happening. No, you can't, you know, take the president into a courtroom over this and that and the other.
and look at the stuff that people have done in defense for Donald Trump. A lot of y'all already know, threatened the judge, threatened the prosecutor. I mean, what's your thoughts, Jenna? Where, you know, because you've seen, you know, many presidents. What's your thoughts compared to the past of where, you know, there was a disagreement on an election, but has this country gotten to the point of where it's just so, at the point of where you're like, wow, this is crazy. People want to change the Constitution. They want to change the laws. They want to change everything in a way of, you know, making this individual the king of the country. Because that's basically what I'm looking at. Make him king. Janet, your mic is open.
First of all, I really don't think they selected April tax day as for a reason. I think it just happened that way because it's not really the trial itself; it's jury selection, and they said it might take over 2 weeks or more for them to actually go through the jury process. Yes, I think it's wrong for people to threaten the judge, the clerk, the judge's daughter, and Bragg, the prosecuting attorney. You know, I think it's wrong for people to do death threats and things like that because that makes, as far as I'm concerned, that makes them just as guilty. You know, and it's that 2025 that Project 2025 that the far right is trying to put in place, and you know, we just got to get out there and vote because we don't want.
I have to ask you this. I want you to keep going, but you know, we have time on this. I mean, it's only 7:18. What you just said, and I apologize for interrupting. I think it's wrong, as you just said, to have folks, or, you know, to make threats to judges. But apparently, you know, apparently it's not a problem with the Republican Party. Apparently it's not. Apparently it's not a problem with
them. No, they're doing whatever Trump wants, Michael. And it's not just the whole Republican Party. They are trying to put this Article 2025 in place where it's going to be not just the Republican Party. You know, a lot of people think that it's going to be better for them. It's only going to be the top people that's going to benefit from Trump getting back in office. Because he's not looking at the little man. Yes, he's using them right now to get money.
When you say the top people, when you say the top people, you're talking about the people who have money, right? The people who have control. The people that we elect into positions that make, you know, the laws and this and the other. Is that what you're saying? If I'm correct, let me know.
It's not going to be for the regular people. It's going to be those who are rich. It's going to benefit from it. The ones that Trump put in place. They're trying to take us back in time. Nobody wants to go back in time before we had Jim Crow.
No, I understand that part of it. Yeah, you're definitely right because that should never happen. What I'm saying is that when you look at individuals, And here's the thing, I mean, you know, for the listeners out there, you got to remember the people that you vote for, you pay their check. Okay? Think about it. From Democrat to Republican, when you elect them to be in, you know, in Congress and this and the other, your tax dollars pay their paycheck. When they decide to shut down the government, it doesn't stop them getting their check, correct? It don't. Let's look at the reality of this. let's look at the reality when and I want to change gears for a moment. When the forefathers made up certain laws, they never imagined an America that is happening right now. If, you know, if there was a TV show, many of them, called Quantum Leap. There was another one, I forgot the title of it, where, you know, they, you know, fictitiously go back in time and change certain things and this and the other, correct things. If that was reality, you could bring back all the forefathers and let them see what's really happening right now. Though many of them were racist, and see what's happening right now. What's your thoughts on what you think if they could rewrite it? Would they rewrite it according to today or keep it the way it was in their day? I know that's a trick question, but be honest with yourself. What do you think?
Are you referring to me, Michael? Are you, can you repeat that again?
You
lost me.
What I just said, I'm referring to you. What do you think? Because unfortunately, there's a lot of individuals who are in power and saying, well, based on what the Constitution says and some of the other and everything. But looking at what's happening in America right now, do you think that one, I'm saying that, or any forefather would look at the reality of what's happening now? Again, I'll say this. They could not foresee the future, right? They couldn't foresee the future. And do you think anyone would consider, in your opinion, if they could fast forward and see a vision of the future right now, to change something? It's just a question.
No, I don't think the forefathers could foresee the future. When they did the Constitution, it was supposed to be not just for then, but for the future. But then you have others now.
Hold on. I did not say they could foresee the future. I said if, I'm just saying hypothetically, okay, I just said a moment ago that where there was a TV show called Quantum Leap. If you could, if we could take one of the forefathers based on, you know, what was written for the United States, that's what I'm saying, the laws that, you know, Democrats, Republicans, and everything says, our forefathers said, you know, they say that a lot. My question to you is that where it's hypothetical, it's just comical in a sense. If one of the forefathers, if not all, could come forward and take a look at what America is now based on gun control and this, that, and the other, you know, do you think that it could be a possibility that a forefather would probably be like, No, I think I would probably change what I put into that. Do you understand my point?
And I say no. You understand my point? I'm just saying no. I don't think so. That's my point.
Okay. You said no. Okay, cool. Appreciate the response. I see, oh, my God, Janet, you know, we always have a squirrel here. I'm going to open up a line. Again, you guys, I want to let you know that I'm sitting outdoors because I'm loving this outside weather. I normally don't do this live, but I'm going to go ahead and go live here. I have a secret squirrel that hit the number one that wants to chime in. 11111. Your mic is
yes,
open.
Sir, Michael Gay. How are you, sir? This is Brother Mike from Singapore.
Hey Mike.
Hi, Janet. Hi, Michael. And if anybody else is online, hi, too. I want just to update.
Yeah.
I'll update you on very emergency news that everybody pretty much may know, that Iran, Ayatollahs, not Iran, Ayatollahs sent hundreds of missiles and drones to Israel, and it was about 50 minutes ago, many of the drones came to Israeli aerospace, and of course with the Iron Dome of the Israelis, they were neutralized, and we are very happy about that. And also the United States Navy and Air Force, they have neutralized at least 15 more drones and missiles from Ayatollahs. And please remember, Ayatollahs are different from Iranian people. Iranian people never approve this kind of event. And Iranians, Israel, they love USA, they love everybody. And so Ayatollahs did it. So because this regime is never been elected by the will of Iranian people, and this regime was from Arabs. They, took over Iran again, because through the history, this is the third time the Arabs took over the country and looted, and basically everything is messed up. So go ahead.
I have to ask you this. I'm sorry. So I saw this of where Iran actually sent drones over to
Israel,
right?
Yeah.
Okay. Excuse me. So Iran did that. So what is the response that the United States is having, or if you don't know that, you living in Singapore, what is the positive or negative of that attack for you?
The attack, of course, is a negative. Nobody likes no Iranian around the globe or inside Iran. 90% of them, they don't like Ayatollahs. And so, so Ayatollahs, basically, they have their own, military, paramilitary. It's like a Putin, basically, like North Korea, So that's why Iranian people, they try to get rid of them. Many times they have given blood for the peace and love of the world, but unfortunately they cannot, because they don't have arms and weapons to take care of the Ayatollahs. So we hope that Israeli response would be swift and, precise again. And Israel is not going to be quiet, and it depends how many missiles they have sent. Say if they send 100 drones and ballistic missiles to Israel. So basically they should expect 10 times more of that to Ayatollahs. And we hope that Ayatollah's army and IRGC would be weakened, so Iranian people can go and take care of the rest of them for the world.
Okay. Janet, the mic is open. Go ahead and respond to what he just said. What's your thoughts about that?
No, I was going to, one thing I was going to say is I found this out just before, a few minutes before I came on the show. And I was going to say something, but we got on the subject of OJ. I think it's something serious, because Biden and the administration, they were meeting just as I earlier, like around quarter to six, they were meeting, and they were saying that it was a possibility that they were going to strike. And so I found out like at six that they did. I mean, we don't want a World War III, you know, and I know
it's already started, unfortunately. It's already started, and you know, we have to go through it. So I ask everybody, you know, have water, food, and many, if you can get cash too, because very soon, if this is the, I mean, Monday, there will be 1,000 point stock market will go down as a result of this.
Okay.
And it depends on what Israeli response will be too. Israeli response, if it would be, then probably in Tuesday would be 2,000. It's going to be a mess. But basically, everything is connected together.
So let me say this because I can, is that where now, Janet had given me, which I already knew kind of, you know, that there was that issue that was going on between the countries. There was what Janet even shared with me, that where, you know, everybody's watching, you know, to see if this is going to actually happen. It happened. It's happened. It's going on right now. Here's the crazy thing to me. Listen to what I'm saying, you guys, that everybody here in the United States, many of us have no clue what the fuck is going on.
I'm not done.
I'm going to let you speak. But millions of people here in the United States have no fucking clue what is going on. I normally don't cuss, but damn, right now I will. But what's happening around the globe, that's going to have a major effect to your everyday lifestyle.
Absolutely.
You follow me? You have no clue. You have no clue. Tomorrow you're going to wake up and be like, why the hell the price of gas went up so high? Well, I'm paying $2 more.
Absolutely.
But, you know, because you don't know what the fuck is going on across the globe. You don't pay attention to it. You don't care about it. You care about your TV shows and shit. When it comes to as far as individuals who run the country, you just care about voting for the next president. You don't think about the individuals, you know, that's locally. You don't care about that. That's the ignorance.
Absolutely.
And that's why I talk about this. That's how come I mean, with Janet, you know, we talk about it, we debate. And everything, we agree, we disagree. But my whole thing is that we're, come on, y'all, open up your eyes. Are you not paying attention to the fact that we live on one planet, and this planet depends on every single thing on it? Think about what I just said. We all live on one planet, and this planet depends on everything on it. Oh, China, we have an issue with how you all deal with your people, but we will import your products to the United States and sell it to our U.S. citizens, because damn near everything you buy is made in China.
Absolutely.
What sense does that make? Explain that shit to me. That's all I'm asking. How can we have so much of an issue based on being world powers? Here in the United States, I'm told we are the most powerful country on the planet. Well, as long as you have a fucking nuclear bomb, that doesn't make you the most powerful because other countries have them too. And war is war. So if anybody chooses to push a button, it doesn't make you powerful. It makes you defensive now to prove how powerful you are.
Well, they really
prove to me. And one individual can actually say, push that damn button. I'm going to go ahead and test your ass. Y'all, come on now. It's a gamble. It's a gamble, in my opinion now. And you know what I'm saying is right. If you got North Korea has nuclear weapons, which if you take a look, honestly, you take a look at the satellite that shows the Earth and shows North Korea at night, it's damn near pitch black. And at the same time, take a look at other countries around the world, and there's plenty of light. That is an awesome look. I'm like, wow. This one man has so much control of an entire country, and they believe him. They believe that the United States and South Korea is their enemy. But we're all family. We all live on the globe. We have to depend on each other. So that blows my mind, man. But go ahead, Mike. If you have something else to share,
yes,
then I'm going to go ahead and turn it
over. Unfortunately, everything is about the power, and it's not about the love anymore. And as a result, we see all this, disunity between the nations, disunity between the people of the country. For example, in the United States, people are very much disunited together, one with the name of Trump, one with the name of Biden, one, with the name of race, color, region, and as much as you want, you know, we have this unity in every angle in this beloved country. So, I mean, while they do that to us, you know, and they don't even give us the correct news. I mean, I'm monitoring right now many, many websites as we are just talking to you right now. I mean, CBS, CNN, it's just, they don't tell you anything that much, but while we are monitoring different stations, different languages, etc., we see that it's how the news is different. And Netanyahu, for example, right now is under bunker and met all his commanders and the cabinet members, some of it, and he said, we are going to give the response to ayatollahs that is going to be very stiff, very hard, and so I think the end game, end game, I think is arrived for all of us. And so, and then they are going to put more missiles towards, I mean, this was a dry test from ayatollahs, I think, because the oldest missiles that they have sent either was intercepted by U.S. Navy, and it came down, some of them, before even goes to Israeli aerospace, but the rest was taken care of by Iron Dome. So I think ayatollahs, they did that. They haven't even used their highest, because other missiles that they have is a Mach 8, Mach 10, and it can hit any part of Israel in 6 minutes or less. Mm-hmm. So I was very surprised tonight that only they sent some drones and ballistic missile that it takes 900 miles for 2 hours. I mean, it's probably they sent one of their old ones. votes or something. But to me, it was a dry run. And now the response would be swift from Israel incoming 48 hours range. And, of course, people of Iran support Israel. And, you know, we don't have enmity. But these people who are in charge, they're never elected from Iran.
Want to wrap it up a little bit because I have a question because I only have like 20 minutes left. Go ahead and wrap it up real quickly because I want to go ahead and get around the board and get Janet to chime in. And also Officer Crenshaw is still on the board.
Sure. The bottom line is your show is very great because people can listen and can differentiate because we are Iranian. We are Americans. We have Canadian. We are Singaporean, and et cetera. But the question is, some of us may have multiple nationalities. But the question is, we do not approve of Ayatollahs ever, and these people did the attack on Israel. So it's from the eyes of any Iranian people around the globe or inside the country, is null and void because they never endorse this kind of thing. And also they're called fake demonstrations because Ayatollah pay the people, you know, $10, you know, say, hey, go and whatever we will ask you to do, do it and get $10. And they say, okay, and $10 in Iran is you can buy at least maybe one day of the food. So they accept it. So go ahead. Please don't see the fake demonstrations, fake flag burning of the Israel and et cetera, because those are all stage demonstrators. Go ahead, sir.
Right. Please. Okay. So hold on a minute. I have to look at my time, and I appreciate it. I'm going to come back to you, Mike. That's Mike in Singapore, sharing what is happening over there and the thought process. Okay, over there. I want to go to Officer Crenshaw, and then of course the lady of the house to wrap it up. Because there's another topic, and I think we might be able to touch on it. If not, we'll move forward, and then I'll talk about something else. But Officer Crenshaw, what's your thoughts about what this attack now that's happening? Is this World War III? Because every nation is going to respond to this, obviously.
It could be. I appreciate Mike from Singapore basically stipulating that it's Ayatollah that's doing this, not Iran. You know, yes, they're in Iran, but not most of the Iranians don't agree with what Ayatollah is doing. That's the same thing that happened with Hamas and Palestinians.
Thing here in the United States. So, we don't agree with all the government is doing, but, you know.
Right. Well, Ayatollah basically took over portions, just like Hamas took over portions of Palestine.
Absolutely.
So for them to actually respond, it could be a beginning. I don't think so because they're playing it strategically. Now, what Janet was saying as far as she thought it was serious with Biden going back and having his meeting, Biden had already made a phone call to position everybody to shoot down those before he went back. He just went back to talk to them about what they're going to do next afterwards. So that was already in the making. So it could be the beginning of another world war. I don't see it as of yet. Because everybody right now is playing it like a chessboard. Everybody's doing it like they're trying to see the next move is going to be made. They're going to try to anticipate it. And that's what they're doing. Like Mike from Singapore said, it was a dry run because they can send things over within a matter of minutes, not hours.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted to see how the U.S.
Absolutely.
Was going to respond and help Israel. That's what they wanted to see.
Okay, I get that. But the thing is that where when you're talking about, you know, and we can use all kinds of words and I can't think of a word I'm trying to bring up, but right, a chess game. But you can also look at it where key thing is calling a bluff. In my mind, I'm like, well, we'll do this and see. And then when you're talking about a chessboard, let's talk about poker. That's a bluff game. That's
right,
where I'm going to put out certain cards. You know, I mean, you know, if you really think about it, it's like, okay, it could be a chessboard, like you said. And in chess, which I do play and I do, I'm very good at it. I've lost a few. But then when it comes to poker, I'm not good at it. I'm not good at poker. And so
okay,
if you watch poker tournaments, it's about the way the individual, you know, how they look, how they, you know, some wear sunglasses, everything, where you can't see exactly what they're, you know, their eyes are giving something. It's the same thing. So I take it where this is not a chess game. It's poker. It's poker. Can I bluff you? Can I make you do something? And you believe, let me finish, you believe I have the upper hand. I'm bluffing you. You believe I have the upper hand. So then you go all in. And all of a sudden you realize, yes, I have the better hand here. You follow me?
It could be that, but my assessment of what's going on is they already know what the U.S. is capable of and its allies. Okay, what they're betting on right now is that Netanyahu does something stupid like he's already done.
Yes.
So for them to do this, knowing that the U.S. was going to help Israeli shoot them down, they're not concerned about that because this was a dry run. They want to see what Netanyahu is going to do next.
Right.
And then do it. Because they got one stupid man playing the game that don't want to listen.
I have only about 12 minutes left. I'm going to go ahead and throw the mic over, and I'm sorry, Officer Crenshaw, over to Janet Davis. Janet, your final comments on this whole situation that's going on, because you know we had a show set up, but today is when we saw that these bombings are going on and these threats are real. Go ahead, Janet. What's your thought?
Wait a minute.
Are you there? I have.
Yeah. Michael. Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can
hear
you loud and clear, please.
Okay. The only thing I want to say is earlier today I was listening to the news on MSNBC, and they had Bolton on there. Bolton was talking about Iran, for instance. When Trump got rid of the sanctions that the United States had, for Iran making nuclear capabilities, you know, nobody knows how far they've gotten since that happened. You know, it's been almost 8, that's like what, 6 years, 7 years, you know? So that's the major concern right there. You know, like you were saying, it's just the Ayatollah, but we don't know if far as their uranium, what kind of capabilities they have. So Netanyahu can act stupid if he wants to.
Okay. Well,
I
really don't have a comment after that.
I'm going to go ahead and then and run around the board again because I have 10 minutes. Actually, you know, I have to really shut it down to 5 minutes. Real quick, Mike in Singapore, thank you so
yes,
much
sir.
For calling in.
Okay.
I really do appreciate you calling in and sharing what you know, the thought process is over there in your own being there. Truly appreciate you. Please always chime in. Okay, so
and your show and yourself too, because you put your time and to give us the wisdom and to educate your listeners that really what's going on as well. And right now, the latest news is that, you know, since Ayatollah sent many drones and missiles, many of them hasn't arrived yet. So it's going to be arrived in between 1 to 2 and maybe 3 hours, because they did not send everything at the same time. They give them a space. So there are more is coming. So we shall see if any of them going to give reach to their destination.
Right.
We hope not,
exactly.
But maybe one or two, yeah. It may be.
Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt you. The thing is that I got 6 minutes. I have to make an announcement before I get off air, you know, and again, I appreciate you. I thank God that, you know, you've been here, and hopefully you'll be here next week, because I want to let you guys
know.
Yeah, I
will
next
be,
Saturday,
but for sure.
Next Saturday,
right.
On
yes,
the TMDS, next Saturday here on the show, you guys know that we've always had some great special guests on, and, you know, we've had some great musicians, great artists, legendary artists on this show, and it hit me, and I'm like, you know, there's someone behind the scenes that put together all these concerts, right? So fortunately, I met an individual at a concert and had a conversation with them a year ago. A year ago, I met this individual, and recently, believe it or not, I was like in shock. We talked for a long time just this past week, and she's going to be our special guest next Saturday. She said, you know, I'm not really into interviews, but I'll do this one. That's a blessing. Tune in next Saturday for a great conversation for a concert promoter, a female, black individual female, because I was always used to hearing about Al Haymon and other individuals, Dick Griffey, you know, doing these great shows. But you guys, you're going to be entertained. You're going to be learning from this woman here. And her name is Georgie Ingram Wren, better known as Lady Joe. And she is the entrepreneur, I'm sorry, the founder of her company, known as Lady Joe Entertainment. So many artists she has promoted over the years. I've been at the events, and I'm just very honored and pleased to have her come on the show and talk to us next Saturday, okay? You guys are going to love it. This woman is just amazing. She started getting into buying stock at the age of 14. That's
wow.
All I'm going to say.
Or maybe Bitcoin.
Oh, my goodness. She's amazing. So I hope everybody chimes in, you know, to look at where you can do what you want to do. You can do a lot of things that you want to do. And she's just confident in what she does. And I'm seeing things that she's doing. Amazing woman. you know, an amazing woman. And I'm so thankful that she's coming on next Saturday. Remember that. Put that on your calendar, the 20th. She's going to be in our second hour. And a few other individuals might chime in. You know, you never know what happens on TMCS. But we're down to 4 minutes, and I want to thank each and every one of you for calling in, tuning in, sharing, and sharing your thoughts on these topics. This is what we do on the TMGS. We have conversations, and converting with each other, having a conversation with each other is so important right now.
Yes, we have to look for commonality than more than differences. I mean, so that's why your show is getting much more attention, because we are look for more commonality. We may have some differences or not, but, you know, differences is always will be there, you know?
Right.
And we appreciate you. We appreciate everybody.
Right. I got 2 minutes left. So real quickly, I'm going to go ahead and get with my co-host. First, I want to get with Officer Crenshaw. Your final words for the night.
Love, everybody. Let go of the anger. Learn to accept responsibility.
Okay. Amen. Janet Pollock Hawkins. Davis, what's your last words for tonight?
Everybody needs to, a lot of people, well, I want people to start paying more attention to what's going on in the news, so that if it escalates and get out of control, you won't try to be always trying to put it all on Biden. Because it's not all about him.
All right. I like that response. We got to get out of here, guys. I only have 2 minutes, and I have to definitely play my closing theme. Hey, God bless you guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy your Sunday. That is a blessed day.
And God bless you all, and God bless your the other person, too. He is very good. He's a very smart man, too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Singapore. Look forward to hearing you next week. I got 90 seconds. Okay, you guys. Make sure you tune in next Saturday. Great conversation with a great guest, and we'll see you then. God bless. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.